Welcome, friends and adventurers, to another episode of Dungeons and Blackguards. I am the Dungeon Master, Robulon. Joining me, in no particular order, are the players and their level 6 characters. Brandon.
I'm Ekaru Poonslay, Half-Orc Bloodhunter, level 6, aka Dark Lord.
Caleb.
I'm Kaito Itata,
level 6 Barbarian.
I'm a Construct.
I'm here at a party.
Tomo.
Hey, I'm Steve Tedman. I am a level 5 Gloomstalker Ranger, level 1 Rogue, and I have a Magic Owl.
Multi-classer.
Fancy.
Brayden.
I'm Brayden. I am playing Beleg Dagar, level 6 Half-Elf Warlock.
The party awakes to find Rook is already half in the bag, and Kaitoa is completely motionless, appearing to be transfixed by his homing stone in some waking dream. No matter, the party store their companion in the kitchen, and then this now the party of three conscious adventurers head out to barter with an army surplus store owner, and Steve successfully haggles. Rejoined, now the Kaitoa is moving again. The party is visited by a messenger of the city with news. The 400 strong army on the march to the nearby city of is under attack. They find themselves surrounded and outranged by an army of well-coordinated gnolls. A call to arms. And then preparation for a battle. Whence the party, sensing perhaps that for the second time this day, one of their members was less than fully conscious, recruited the aid of several known allies to ride on horseback and rescue the encircled army of Pol. After the battle was won, and upon their triumphant return, the party now contemplates their next course of action. With Nafri's exit from the city hinted at, but still unconfirmed, with Krizblik, the deceased battle badger, still frozen in Mem's lunch icebox.
What the fuck do we do now, boys?
I mean, I wouldn't mind saving Krizblik.
From my thoughts, I think it might be a bit of time before Mem can revive Krizblik. We should consult Mem, but I think it'll be a bit of time before we'll get Krizblik back.
Depends on what we have to go through.
You're right, we should consult Mem if there's any materials we need.
He mentioned green magic, which is like elven magic.
Elven.
Like knows that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So saving Krizblik or reviving Krizblik would probably require a trip to Chlombur to go up. That's where the Wizard's Guild is, too. But yeah, let's go talk to Mem about it.
Also, I have a raging clue that's constantly pointing in a direction.
I'd love to follow. So if we're ever looking for something to do.
We're back at the White Chain, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we still didn't actually... Well, fuck, let's go to the Wizard and Spear anyways, because we never got a chance to sell our magic weapon.
All right.
Hey, yeah. Rob, is Steve back at the White Chain, or what's...
Steve, you left your party surreptitiously. Where did you go? What did you seek out? We'll obviously assume here that Rook and Beleg, who exclaimed one by their actions and the other by their words, that they were sacked. And rightly so. That was a wild battle and a long ride. So, Steve, you still had energy to escape out as, Kaitoa sort of forlorn watched the flickering of the candles. So, Steve, where were you hoping to go? And I might probably get you to roll like a D 4, and that'll tell us how long you had. Every number is an hour.
Well, from my instructions, I was told to find a set of stones within a forest.
Mm-hmm.
That is a 3.
Okay. So, Steve, you would have 3 hours uninterrupted. So, you know, an hour and a half, or an hour to somewhere, and an hour back. We can assume that you probably have to make a stealth roll for coming back in. But we can assume that you made it to that area around Caregrove, where the orchards broach in upon a more ancient forest. You'd be looking for a formation of stones. How do you think you might go about finding that, you know, as you approach, you know, the sort of imposing wall of dense forest? What would you be looking for that might lead you to that sort of a geographic feature?
Well, using my survival, checking the lay of the land, understanding where a chunk of rock would possibly form.
Okay. Quick survival.
Yeah. 23.
Nice. Okay, then your instincts and your survival abilities lead you quickly into the deep, dense forest, for you know a formation like this might form in the dried old riverbed. And Steve, you are able to locate this formation that you're recalling from this dream that you had the first day you and the party were in Polb. The two moons are now actually far into the horizon, like the night is getting very dark, and soon you'll be entering the, you know, the darkest phase of night. As you look back over your shoulder and look back to the city of Polb, what are you doing in this clearing?
Well, I have my little lantern, my hooded lantern, and a packet of herbs. So I'm basically taking this little hooded lantern that I have in my pack, and I am burning a packet of herbs that I've put together, effectively turning it into what's the name of those sort of mass in Catholic basilicas? They've got like that one dude carrying the sort of the
Like a smudge.
Yeah, it's sort of. Yeah, it's basically like a little metal lantern,
like,
so to speak.
But yeah, it's that you're waving around. Yeah, and it's just smoking. Yeah, a smudge. Yeah.
Is this an offering? Are you moving to ignite this?
Yeah. So I've lit it, and I've placed it amongst this sort of set of rocks, and I am sitting down close by and closing my eyes and focusing on. On our good friend Solas. A sensor? Is that what it's called?
Steve.
Yes, a sensor.
A warm southern breeze, and you see your incense flame, this collection of herbs. The moment you announce your intention here, your summoned familiar Solas, your intention to commune or contact them, you feel this breeze of warm southern air. The trees rustle around you, and all is now very dark and quiet as the stars twinkle high above.
I peek, open my eyes.
You see nothing but this rock formation. And the scene about you has unchanged. Now that breeze has gone, there's sort of a more cool, cold feeling setting in. And now you shiver a little bit, Steve, and you pull your poncho close about you.
Your security blanket.
Okay, I guess that's as much as I've been told to do. So pack my shit up, and then head back to town.
Okay, Steve, can you roll a stealth? Because I'm going to assume that you're not just trying to make it back into your little clubhouse with your buddies, but also probably just back in through the city in general undetected. Would that be a fair assumption?
Yep, a stealth check to get back into town. That's a 25.
Okay. Steve, you have no trouble making it back through the eastern gates of the city of Polb, and you would remark there is actually a fair presence on the walls and on the gates. It seems like, you know, the party's instructions have been carried out. I mean, the city is watchful, and you get past the outer perimeter, and now you are back on the danger room side, the abandoned training room side of the White Chain and party. Can everybody roll a perception?
You guys aren't going to believe that Belleg just rolled a nat 20.
And I rolled a nat 1.
Rook, you are fast asleep. Kaitoa, would you roll?
10.
Oh. Kaitoa, your sleep cycle is probably just finishing up here. And Belleg, you notice clearly Steve's pillows or whatever his concoction on his bed. Oh, look at that. It's just his adventurer's pack under the sheet.
I just learned Belleg's a morning person. Who knew?
I think
where
we all.
Where the fuck is Steve?
We all knew Belleg was a morning person.
Well, good.
So, party, as everybody wakes up in the morning here, Belleg, you would have the knowledge that perhaps Steve was playing some hooky. And Steve, you know, however you have decided to reintroduce yourself today, you guys are now all seeing the early morning, and you've completed a long rest.
So Rook and Steve have the Stones of Near Speech, right?
Okay.
One each?
Yeah.
I thought I gave it to somebody a couple episodes ago, did I?
Rook, I believe.
I gave mine to Rook when they were leaving.
Did we both give ours to Rook?
I think you kept yours when you and I stayed.
Hold this.
Whispers into his own ear. Hey.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
I thought Steve still had one. If Steve does still have one, I'm going to tell Rook to talk, like message Steve to see if he's in within range.
Dark Lord to Boy Scout, come in.
Well done.
Rob, is he within range?
He is. And I love how you guys are supposed to be taking care of these precious artifacts. And like, do you have them? Who has them? Do you have them? Do I have them?
And then we have them like walkie-talkies.
Carrying like close to 60 throwing daggers on my person. I got a lot of stuff. That's just throwing daggers.
Okay, so you guys, what's your plan? Yes, Belleg, you've confirmed, although you've kind of exchanged these things between the party, you guys do have two of these stones of near speech. These semi-translucent, very round, blue stones.
Did Steve get back to me?
Yep.
Where are you, Boy Scout?
I'm upstairs. Where are you?
Upstairs. Just waking up here. What's going on? Belleg told me to contact you. Were you out and about?
Yeah, I was getting gore.
Ooh, I like gorp.
What's for breakfast?
Gorp. Fresh pick gorp. Are you in your room or are you going to come join us here? I swear I don't have my nightie on anymore.
let the breeze clear the fishing tackle, block and tackle out, huh?
Yeah.
He's fully nude right now.
Just dick in the wind.
Yeah. Just gotta let it hang out sometimes.
So, you want to eat my gorp?
Eat my gorp.
I thought Sharva was going to make us some breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Has she done? Well, let's go down and see if she's picked up a bunch of food and some more casks.
Yeah, Belleg's going downstairs.
I don't think we gotta eat gorp anymore, boys.
I like
the toast of the town.
But I also like saving it till we need it.
Yeah, exactly.
Thinking of Gorp makes me miss Krizblick.
Oh, don't worry. She's coming back.
As you guys make your way downstairs, Shorva is not present. However, there's work being done on the front door by Porco, the woodworker. And he is aided, it appears, by this half-orc with the ponytail and no tongue.
Porco, did you install a viewing slot in that door?
Yes, two slots, one at the eye height for the halflings and little things, and one at a higher height here, about 6 feet. Borky.
Good.
And yeah, it appears like they've been probably the first ones to open up in the morning here. No, nobody else. And still, although lots of kitchen upgrades were made in the last little bit, there has not been any delivery of foodstuffs, guys. There is no fresh thing in here today.
Porco, where is Shorva?
Oh, well, she'll probably come in wielding a clipboard within the hour. Not good news for stocking the pantry.
Why's that?
Still, the fresh goods from Iz are held back. All the rations came back from the army you rescued. Very impressive, very impressive. But still, only very meager supplies in the pantries and cellars. No word from Chintadu either. Normally they'd respond within a day.
Chintadu. Yeah.
I think we have to reopen a trading route or else we're not getting stocked with food.
Who do we want to open up a trading route with?
I think Steve. Where's their good agriculture?
Yeah.
wait. Can I roll a nature?
Yeah,
I want to
please
cross that shit off my list.
Roll that nature, but anybody would know sort of roughly, okay, what's the geography? And given the season, where might the city find some support in the way of food? Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, okay. Roll a 17.
Okay, well, there would be two options. One, you know, Rook, that Iz truly exists as the last bastion of fertile land before the trough. This huge, desolate wasteland, barren lands cut straight into the middle of central Beharu. You know, Monjob, which used to be at least plains and steppes, and even some fertile lands for horses. Now, it is just unlivable and supports nothing. So Iz is the only place you're going to find something to the east, to the north, is Basil. Probably that would have some similar situations to Pold. There has been a region-wide famine. You're 17 plus 1, though. You would think to Lantern. And you even think back to Fernando's fruit stand. So there must have been some thriving early spring agriculture, perhaps, you know, greenhouses or root cellars. Yeah.
I'll take that guy out.
Robin,
amazing. Fernando was a dickhead.
Robin, can I do a survival check to go through our cellar to see what we're lacking in?
You definitely can.
16.
Katoa, as you go into the back, you notice that the other project that Doug and Porco have been working on is the rear door. And as you go through the large pantry, you really see several areas where a large amount of dry and cool and perhaps, you know, fresh fish and meats could be stored, but there's virtually nothing left from that brunch you guys put on. I mean, recall, this place was sort of under a thin layer of dust when you came in.
So what are we short on?
Let's see. Everything.
Oh, all right. Okay.
I'm going to suggest to the guys that if we don't want to deal with Iz, then we probably want to try to reach out to Lantern and fill our needs there.
Have we spoken to anyone from Iz, though?
Yeah, I was going to say...
Not yet. I wouldn't mind actually visiting the city of Iz.
didn't we just send a huge army to Iz?
Well, they never made it, but yeah, we sent them.
They allegedly sent a bunch of gnolls to us first, though, so...
Yeah, we were retaliating. It wasn't ish.
Party, you all think about the battle from yesterday. The army of Polb was marching along to the nearby city of Iz. They made it, what, not even a quarter away there? Maybe a third of the way there. And yes, your interpretation is correct. I mean, they were assailed by this huge army of gnolls, guys. I mean, you know, you guys remember taking out, you know, about 150 of these guys along with the men. This was larger than any pack you've ever seen. But no, you did not make it even close to Iz. So as you guys roll over in your head, I mean, yes, a lot of this is conjecture.
Okay, so well, I think that we is the closest resource we have, and also
to keep our town running.
To keep our town running, and yes, in order to keep our town running and for us to move onwards and do anything else and not be attacked, we need to secure Iz.
Well, how do you want to do it?
We're either playing Risk or we're playing a game of chess.
Beleg proposes that our first step is to go to Wizard and Spear to drop off those magic items, and then we can get some deets on Iz. But actually getting to Iz and seeing what the fuck's going on there.
Hey, Rob.
Oh, yeah.
These city-states, these sort of large city organizations, do they have, let's say, ambassadors that would be...
Oh. Diplomacy.
City to city.
Yeah. Can we telegraph them or pigeon them?
Or send a message by auto gyro?
Yeah.
Would there be members of Iz in Polb that we could talk to?
We know Oldfoot is in Iz, and he's the guy that Nafri said was holding him hostage.
You do have a map of Iz. You do remember on Nafri's sort of list of stuff a name. And Steve, yeah, you would know, especially with your background as a messenger, that emissaries and ambassadors are not uncommon, especially in this free state of match, which currently has three different styles of lordship or governance. The Merchants Guild, who seem to play a large role in the governance of Iz, as far as you would know, Steve. This Baron of Basel, nestled up against kind of the more the steward realms of the Half-Orc Kingdom, and then, you know, the city of Polb here, which at the moment, you know, you guys make up a fair portion of the leadership of the city in no small way. So this is what you would think about, Steve. You could seek that out. Is there a place in Polb where they might congregate?
Like, is there an embassy of Iz?
Like, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, would there be a place where emissaries from Iz or merchants from Iz would stay? So we can get an idea of what Iz is about as far as the politics between the two places go.
Well... no embassy of Iz, per se. You could ask any of your known allies in town, but it would be very common to, you know, find people just out in the street who could speak to the relationship, you know, between the free cities in Match. But again, as far as you guys remember, these two city-states had no beef 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Can we just send them an order then? Should we just say, here are the things we need and send them some...
I don't know. I noticed that...
These are the things I know, I know. These are the things I know.
That the interests of the leadership have changed since the last time they spoke. We'd like to maybe have a parley, sit down, reconnect.
From what Nafri told us, I feel like Iz would be pretty good... a good place to find Black Arrow activity if we actually went there.
But do we want to just go wandering in there, or should we try to extend a bit of an olive branch before we do so?
I mean, we could bridge the political gap, and then by way of that, sneak into Iz and depose the Black Arrow.
So should we get, should we call for Dante and get him to send a raven to Iz, explaining our desires?
I think so. Why not send one to Iz and Lantern? Or see if we can't open up both routes and get some stuff funneled into the town. Might as well.
Hey, Porco. Is there any way you can get Dante to come to the bar here so we can get him some orders?
It is technically his day off, but...
it's a new regime, baby. It's a new regime. His hours have changed.
Yeah. And we believe in the... Listen, fuck. God damn it. I believe in the rule of law simply because I rule. Is that it?
Exactly.
Well, now, as you talk, you sound like very seasoned diplomats, also good at drawing blood from a human or other, but also good maybe at drawing a request for renewed trade. Yes, I can right now leave Doug to finish the work. I will go to Hugill Castle.
Perfect.
All right. As you guys have been chatting away there, boy, look at the time. 45 minutes has worn on. So we'll say that right now it is 8 a.m.
Wizard and Spear opens at 9, right?
Maybe for the general public.
That's fair. Am I the only person that wants to go to the Wizard and Spear to take care of our magic items and check in with them about Krizblik and stuff?
I'd like to do that.
I wouldn't mind going in to check on Krizblik.
Yeah. I think we should make that our next order of business.
Party, as you leave, Doug is coming around from his area here. It looks like on the stable side of the White Chain. And he is indicating with a gesture to your horses. Will you ride now through the city or walk?
I'm riding. Belleg is riding. He likes the horse.
Okay. Belleg on your golden flax-colored steed. Kaitoa on your mud-brown steed. Yes, Steve, you have that, Holstein, speckled horse. Rook, your black steed served you very well as you trampled.
I'm sorry, his name is Jeffrey.
Oh, nice. Jeffrey. So would you guys ride mounted? Rook, you were pretty impressive as you came into the city propped up on sort of like a stick through your back to appear erect and conscious.
Yeah, it was a weekend at Poonchley's.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly what I wanted.
Okay.
Puppet arms.
Yeah.
Good sunglasses.
You know, as you guys mount... You would notice that it appears that there is sort of a large collection of strange bits of wood and metal kind of collected off in the corner of the stables, which, you know, now that they have horses in them, I suppose is being serviced by Doug here, who seems to conduct most of the lower end chores on Shorva's staff. You know, you've seen him in the latrines, you've seen him mopping around, now he's in the stables, and you guys are departing to the White Chain.
Can I ask, is this the same Doug from the cartoon?
Quail Man?
I'm from Ponchon.
Ponchon?
Have we been to Ponchon?
I've been to Ponchon.
Is there good arable land in Ponchon?
Would know.
Okay.
Is my black stallion ready to roll?
Oh, yeah, come on.
On the old stallion.
All right, it's a quick ride to the White Chain. And there is quite a lot of activity in the morning. And again, like yesterday, pretty much everybody parting ways for this party that over the last 2.5-3 days has turned the city upside down or perhaps turned a new leaf. And you are arriving at the front entrance to the Wizard and Spear, your friendly neighborhood magical armor and weapons purveyor.
Can we go in on our horses? Just like barge in there?
Of course you can.
Well, that's definitely the way I'm going to do it.
I grab Rook's horse by the reins and I like yank it down and stop him before he does it.
Bally brings out his good horse lock because he knows it's a seedy part of town and want his horse to be stolen.
It does seem that this part of town is sort of, it's on the border, right, of South Polby. It's the first neighborhood in. As you guys lash up your horses to the side here in Kaitoa, you sort of just stopped Rook, who is charging.
Apparently, athletics? I want to do athletics and divert that.
It's going to be a grapple.
Against my strength.
Yeah. Strength v strength.
I'll go for that.
All right.
Yep. What's happening?
17.
Oh.
What do we got?
I feel like Rook's going to crash the door down now.
Yeah, no, he totally will. 9.
Yeah, given the hesitation, the momentary hesitation, Rook kind of slips out of your grasp. You maybe change his trajectory a bit, but Rook, you and your stallion literally, you know, you use the momentum of the horse to push the double doors open, and whatever lock was behind, whatever small lock, is broken, and the doors sort of rock back and forth a little bit, and then they spring open. And now you would be, you know, Rook, you would now have to almost look down from atop your horse into this establishment.
I like how last time we entered, I was like the asshole for snuffing out a candle and barging our way in for a shopping experience, and Rook just kicks the door down with his hooves, and I just throw my hands up and mean like, fuck this. Like, I'm so annoyed. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. Bally rolled his eyes pretty hard while he was tying his horse up out front.
Yeah, I'm so annoyed by this.
Rook's got a pretty smug grin on his face right now.
And I just, like, I kneel and let him forward, like, after you, sir.
Bellic walked in, after, like, through the busted open door, and, like, jumps up and biffs Rook on the back of the head. And then continues to walk, seeing if there's Memorlia anywhere.
I'm gonna go acrobatics before that happens.
And
try to backflip, dismount,
and have Beleg tumble in on his ass.
Yeah, Beleg, I feel like that's beyond a simple D4 slap. So, what would you like to roll as you try and pull sort of? Were you trying to give him a little biff?
A little biff.
Okay. What's a biff? Just strength v strength, maybe strength v athletics.
I'll take athletics because I'm rolling strength.
Well, you could either roll a dex-based Rook, or you could roll a strength-based in that maybe you catch his fist and you grapple him.
Or I biff him and it's just like hitting a steel wall.
I'll go strength.
I'm going athletics.
Okay.
Wow, I pulled a Kaitoa.
Yeah.
4 plus 4.
13 plus 3, so 16.
So, there is now this
none
tussle.
Will stop.
We let this asshole just go in on his own.
Yeah.
No, we didn't let him. We tried to stop him.
Yeah.
He just slept more than all of us.
Yeah.
More alert.
Yeah, go for it.
As the door now flies open,
welcome, friends and adventurers, to The Break. DM Robulon here. We are nearing the end of Season 3. We hope you are enjoying this episode of our actual play, homebrew, collaborative narrative campaign. But what does that mean, you ask? It means that as much as I, the Game Master, prepare the setting and the scene, the players and the dice have the ultimate agency in what actually transpires.
This leads to exciting, unpredictable, and very rewarding gameplay in our estimation. As we approach the finale of this season, allow me to present a quick refresher on our format. We've been playing the Dungeons & Blackguards D&D 5e campaign since January of 2018. We play on Monday nights from 9 p.m. to midnight and record our 2.5 to 3 hour sessions all remotely. We do not play at a physical table. We are all recording with headsets on and mostly theater of the mind. Then we split the session recordings into 1 hour podcast episodes grouped into seasons of approximately 20 episodes. Some of our sound effects are recorded live, but the vast majority are added in post-production along with the ambient tracks and music scores. The delay between recording our 3-hour campaign sessions in the present and releasing podcast episodes in the present has grown exponentially. This means what's recorded in the vault now spans over 9 seasons, allowing a forecast release schedule well beyond 2022 for the podcast, releasing 1-hour episodes weekly with small breaks between seasons. Are you an OG Blackguard, listening vigilantly since Season 1, Episode 1, A Deadly Point, was released to the airwaves in November 2018? Or have you discovered our podcast more recently, consuming our back catalog at a furious pace? Whatever the case, a sincere and heartfelt thank you for listening to the show and joining us on this epic length adventure. From all us Blackguards, we salute you. Finally, a special reminder to please check out dragonburndesigns.com. They are at Nat20Dicebox on Twitter, and we Blackguards are honored to be able to offer the following promo code to our fans and listeners. Enter BlackguardsFan, all caps, BlaggardsFan, BlackguardsFan, at the dragonburndesigns.com checkout, and receive 10% of your whole order off. That's right, the entire order 10% off. And now, without further ado, we return to Season 3, Episode 16 of Dungeons and Blackguards.
We let this asshole just go in on his own.
Yeah. No, we didn't let him. We tried to stop him.
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it.
As the door now flies open, and from the inside you hear from, you know, probably further back, "What is going on in the name of Dan?" And there is the door to the back opening, and Leah is coming out. She does not look particularly refreshed. She looks pretty haggard, actually, and she is running out towards guys, like shaking her hands and head. "What? What's going on? The doors are broken."
I start combing the horse. Yeah.
How absolutely smashed is the door? Is it still in one sort of part?
It has been...
Because Steve leaves it open?
It has been rent at the seam, and clearly the inner lock has been busted off.
We've got some goods to sell you. And I can turn around and...
Steve sheepishly tries to close the door, and at the same time pockets the lock.
Nice.
The damaged lock. And yeah. Rook, as you look back and kind of like, who brought the stuff,
It was already delivered here yesterday by Maddie and Toby. Right? You sent the card along with the magic items. That's what prompted Mem and I to come see you at the White Chain, because obviously you'd returned from your morning jaunt.
No, I thought I had it on the back of the horse. My bad.
Oh, your servants are quite loyal, those two. They brought the items, wrapped up, as asked.
Leo, what can you tell us about the items?
Let's see.
And there's the blanket that you guys had, you know, set aside, wrapped up from the Battle of Pol Plaza with the items, right, that you've set aside. Oh, this is really exciting, guys. How many were there? And what three items are you excited to see identified? Ooh.
There's a mace or a flail, one of the two. The other ones I don't really remember.
Did we bring the moon mask?
Somewhere in my net. Did we bring the moon mask?
I thought we wanted them to see it specifically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would imagine we have it in one of Kaitoa's compartments.
Yeah, it is hobo bindled, as far as canon can tell, with either Kaitoa or Rook in their adventurer's pack bindled.
I'm pretty sure I have it.
Okay.
And I'm still outside grooming a horse. Because I don't want to be a part of this. Last time I got shit for stuffing out a candle, so I don't want anything to do with this intrusion. Leah already hates me, so I'm not going near this.
I'm gonna poke my horse's head out and say, come on in, Kaitoa, it's all good.
Ah, fuck, I didn't actually write down the magic items. I'm a loser.
Party, can you roll joint history? And as Leah moves to start, you know, unwrapping these items, you see a fearsome looking flail. This thing is nasty.
Belleg rolled a 13 minus 1, so 12.
Ooh, I got a 12 too. 11 plus 1.
I got a 3.
That's a 15 for Steve.
Okay. Well, that makes sense, Kaitoa. You are just walking in here. You see your party standing around the front counter here, and it is a large, large bundle. You guys clearly remember this very dark, almost black, full suit of plate armor.
Right.
So I walk to the counter, I unload everything in my compartments on the counter, and I just walk through the back door towards Mem's quarters.
But does Leah have anything to say about the plate armor?
Yeah, I'm thinking about Crisplick, and I just like unload everything on the counter, and I'm walking in the back.
Hey! Mr. Hello! Hello! How'd you get him to stop?
I don't want any part of busting the door, but you just
don't get him to stop.
Ooh, watch out for Mem back there! He hasn't woken up yet!
It's like, I don't want any part with breaking the door, but I'll walk right through this door and into the back.
No, I know.
No,
the tempo has already been set for intruding, so I'm not worried about that anymore. We've already declared our presence in the room, so I might as well get what I want out of this. And so here's the shit, here's the loot, you deal with that, I'm going for what I want.
I'm gonna wake up, man, just lift him up by his leg and shake him.
I'm gonna brush my horse while you guys do the rest, and I'm gonna bust in and wake up Mem.
No, I'm just going for the cooler where Crisplick was last rest. I'm just going for that fridge, seeing if she's still in there.
So, Kaitoa, can you roll a strength, please, as you burst through the door to the back room, you know, beside Leah's sort of showroom front desk?
19.
Wow, this door just flies back on its hinges, and party, you would see, you know, there's so much momentum to the door that Kaitoa has pushed. It closes back on itself and slams shut. So Kaitoa has now gone out of view. Kaitoa, you are in the back room. It's the familiar room. And over in the corner is Mem's desk and his sort of low icebox, metallic box in the corner.
Yeah, I'm going right for that icebox. And okay. I'm going to open it up.
Whew. You stomp over there, and as you, you know, gingerly just open the lid, you will notice, actually, that some improvements have been made to this box. You know, whereas before it was a hastily concocted solution for a deceased party member's degrading corpse, now it seems to have been maybe multi-layered, and it's quite cold in here. It seems to have a lot of insulation. The Iceman has obviously been by. It has been refreshed. And perhaps there is more at work here, but boy, there is, under the blanket, the form of Krizblick.
I'm going to gently, like, consolingly brush Krizblick and then close the lid again.
The lid closes shut, and Kaitoa, you would now hear behind you footsteps. You turn around. It is the wizard Mem. Grumble, grumble, grumble. I'm in a pre-grain grass mood, Tin Man.
Mem, what's happening with Krizblick?
Getting ready for transport.
What do you mean by transport?
Leah! Leah!
No, Mem. Talk to me.
You. Alright, let me. Stumble, grumble. Bumble, grumble.
And Mem is coming down the stairs. He looks a little rickety. Oh, my back! From riding on. Horseback, not so great, the old discs. So, green magic, not something I can perform, but better touch this creature within a year for this kind of magic, and I don't know how long it may take you, so I've made a little, say, way that you might take this deceased party member with you in, shall we say, semi-stasis.
So she's ready for travel.
The wizard Mem looks from underneath his bushy brows.
Yes, but are you ready for travel? Leah!
And folks, the three of you in the front hear a shout from the back. It is the clear, grouchy voice of Mem. Leah looks over her shoulder and says,
well, there we go. And look at this third item, a chain shirt.
What was the second item? We got the black plate armor. Oh, and the flail. Fuck.
Beleg.
Yeah.
Beleg. May I call you Beleg, Master Beleg?
Yeah. You can call me whatever you want.
Is that flatulence, this loud noise coming from your direction?
You can call Beleg Honey Bun.
No. It's just the gravity of my presence.
Oh, I see. This sort of a loud sound. Well, I'll ignore it. Now, there's three here, and I've put them on the Wizard Mem's schedule to identify, but instead he's been presiding over death duels and riding into battle with you. A lot of injured. Came back from that battle. A lot of injured.
What about this mask?
I haven't seen this before. Undo this little bindle bag here.
The bindle bagel.
Oh, better put on that on the list too. Well, look, these four items leave with Mem. After I give him a couple of shots at the grain grass, he'll plow through these thing in a quarter of the time that it would take some commoner to identify an item. So, say in an hour, we'll have some great stats for you.
Beleg would like to plow through you.
Oh, Rook!
And Rook, can you roll charisma?
Yeah. You gotta roll for that one.
Oh, yes. This is me again.
Dickbag.
And Rook has put in a huge wad of gorp.
1 second here.
And not only is he like calling out the room and Beleg, but he's like got a mouthful of gorp and he's chewing it and spilling it all over really, really unattractively.
No, 17.
I'm gonna roll a quick
counter
constitution check.
Counter.
I blush.
Okay, roll that con.
That's a 13.
Guys, everything about today has lowered you in my regard by a huge degree. All of you. Actually, you know, the one fellow there, Steve, I actually don't think you've really wronged me in too many ways. Certainly you haven't played any little pranks on me behind my back.
To be fair, Aaliyah hated me from the beginning.
And Kaitoa is out of the room, so yes, you are escaping Leah's ire. But yeah, Leah, her eye falls on you, Steve. Leah's eye falls on you.
Mm-hmm. And, well, you guys don't seem all completely bad. Thanks for closing the door, young man, after your construct friend crashed through both doors. I wonder what he and Mem are up to back there. Let's wrap this up.
I didn't crash through both doors. One was already knocked down. I crashed through the second door. Rook crashed through the first door.
Oh, you're in another room. You didn't even hear that comment.
Ugh, constructs. You know how those people are.
Come on through, guys. Come on. Come on, half-orc quartermaster. You too, young man. My young liege. Steve-o.
I'm just in the back room, like, holding a frozen corpse of Chris Blake.
And as you guys walk in, you see Mem sitting beside the teapot, looking extremely grumpy, and his arms are crossed.
Psst. Hey, Master Beleg, may I ask you something very quickly before we step in there?
And she has held you back. She has tarried a moment, Beleg.
Yeah, what would you like to know?
Your friend Rook, I...
Careful when you say friend.
Oh. Well, look then.
Cold-blooded.
Despite the crass behavior here, you know, your friend Rook, I sensed when I healed him a toxicity or a poison or some sort of infection in your colleague there. Have you fought anything poisonous recently? Perhaps the whole party is a danger.
You mean like his soul?
Yeah, I don't think we've fought anything poisonous, but I have seen Rook use poisonous magic.
I see. My first thought was perhaps the hideous tentacle marks after I healed you guys and that poor badger for the first time in Naffy's chambers. Then I thought maybe it was from the duel. You know, was the blade poisoned? Perhaps that swordmaster Flaunton was cheating. But then I thought perhaps this gash from the fight yesterday.
A mimic chest in Afri's office.
Oh, mimics. That sounds like scary military hardware from the last war. Scary stuff, that. Well, look.
It wasn't fun.
I need to share something with you. You seem trustworthy in this party. I think this toxicity is deeper than a recent wound. I sensed an arcane, a perhaps alchemical toxicity in his heart, in his blood.
I'll keep a close look on him, Leah. Thanks for the heads up.
Oh, please do, because if you ride again, know that we have no more healing potions. They were used all during and after the battle.
When will we get more?
3 days, I suppose. Anyways, yes, I hope confiding in you will not go awry.
Don't worry.
And you guys are now stepping in. Kaitoa and Steve and Rook and Beleg, you are now all in the back with Mem, who is now being attended to on the tea front.
Partake in my tea. Brr.
Is there booze in it?
No.
Nope, I'm out.
I'll try some tea.
Ah.
Well, here you go. Partake.
Judging by the smell of the tea, do I know what's in it?
Well, yes, this is the second time you would have encountered this tea. You know it's like a pressed, like a grass shoot. You're not sure of the name. It must be something sort of very, very, very local.
Ooh, can I do a medicine check on it? See if it's got any medicine properties?
I'm giving you stuff to fish on. I see your sheets. Yes, you can roll medicine.
Yes.
Oh, and Steve,
that's
just
an 11.
As Rook is beginning to, you know, say what he thinks this might be, you feel sort of a low, deep voice in the back of your mind. And all of a sudden, you know the name of the plant. It is Valet.
Valet.
And Rook, you remember this shoot is native to Western Beharu. It is called Valet.
Any medicinal properties?
Mm-hmm. It does have sort of a mild restorative quality to it, if extracted into a tea in the right way.
I'm going to slam it back.
You feel a nice rush, as if you've taken a very concentrated, you know, vegetable juice.
Woo!
Mem, will this help Crispy?
Wishful thinking. It's green, but it's not the green magic. As I was saying before, well, there is a contact I know, and it's the only person who might be able to help you. Far away, though, they are. To the north, in the forests around Tlomber.
Then I throw the
Tlomber,
cup and
you say?
Smash it. I throw the cup and smash it on the ground.
Felix intrigued.
Master Construct!
Hey!
And both Mem and Leah stand back.
Mem, I apologize for my colleague's actions here.
Says the guy who busted down the door.
But you know what? You are like a bullet in a pottery barn.
He's just really passionate about his badger.
Leave my various shop pieces alone. Leave my door alone. Potentially leave me alone if you're going to be throwing cups around. I sense anger. Yes, I do, but maybe well placed. Maybe well placed. There's only one ingredient you need, of course, but you need to find somebody who can use it.
Mem, we need more direction than just the north.
We need names. We need a name.
What's the ingredient?
Well, diamonds, valuing a weighty sum. Surely you folks have diamonds you pillaged off the poor souls that you run down on the streets and such.
Mem, you're being far too elusive. Give us a name.
North
Lake and now,
diamonds.
North diamonds.
That's what I've heard.
Give us a name.
The name is Mem. We use it at the Wizards Guild in Plumber.
A name. Well, yes, a name.
Give us a contact.
Well, Beleg, a bit too far north would be the Wizards Guild. They're up in Tonwyn, the island far, far to the north, and I would not recommend going there. No, my contract is perhaps best if they were not drawing the ire of the Wizards Guild for some of the arts they practice. Write this one down, boys. Wagapaolo. That's a Wagapaolo, and by no means do you mispronounce their name. Wagapaolo. Say it with me, everybody.
Oh, fuck. Wagapaolo. I'm so close to spelling it right.
Wagapaolo. Green magic practitioner. Real eccentric.
I pull Mem aside quickly and whisper, how will this guy feel about warlock practices? Should I hide that around him?
Warlock? What do you mean?
How does he feel about warlock practice?
Why?
Just curious.
What?
They're dark magic, aren't they?
Well, Beleg, half-elf. I'm not sure what you're getting at. I don't know enough. I have no window into another magic user's opinion, but I'll tell you my own opinion. Devious warlocks. I'm glad that's not where you draw your power from. Clearly a learned conjurer, you.
Yeah.
Is while Apollo
just getting
the
land around?
Oh, sir. Not asking out of personal interest, of course, nor I. My heart just skipped a beat there. Patrons. Ooh, a tricky bunch. Ooh, ancient malice. Ooh, I say.
So Wagapalo is in Plumber.
The area around Berm, you see. The deep forest around Berm. And it just so happens, I believe Mickey Germ might know of this person, too.
Well,
sounds good to me.
That's all we need to know.
Well, then, leave me with these three items. Oh, this mask. Ooh. Ooh, gimme. Ooh, let's take a look at this thing. Ooh.
Yeah, you guys see the wizard Mem reaching towards the bindle.
Careful there. Careful, Mem, and I reach out to grab his hand.
Okay, you see Mem roll a,
a bit forward there. But I suppose we're battle buddies, after all, so... Okay, but do tell, what's the danger? Trapped? What?
Yeah,
psychic?
I touched this mask once before, and it gave me, strange urges, man. I wouldn't risk touching it.
The heebs.
Oh, the heebie-jeebies! Oh, yes, well... The heebie-jeebies usually result in a wisdom saving throw, so let's not test fate here, I wonder.
I'm not a master of wisdom saving throws.
Well, I can tell you right away. I'll have answers for you soon. You party, you four.
And he is now taking all of your items there, including the mask and the bindle, which he's careful not to touch now, having been warned, Beleg. And he seems to be retreating up to his loft.
Anything else, my lords?
And Lee is sort of cleaning up the smashed glass on the floor.
Mem, should we take Crispic with us, or should we bring back the ingredients?
And he seems to kind of grumble and go out of auditory range, Kaitoa. He didn't seem to answer your question.
Hey, Leah, how long will it take to get to Berm?
Berm? The ancient seat of the elves. There's several ways you could simply travel north through the northern realms and take the boat along the North Sea. Or, you know, conversely, you could travel all the way by horse, if not waylaid, and if passage is easy, but it could simply be a matter of a month by land, or potentially a lot less if you split the travel up a little bit by sea. I'm not much of a traveler.
And you think it's better to go North Sea than go Bassasnam to Orel to Nilgil?
Well, let's see here. I do have a basic map of the realms here, and yes, there are several ways to go. And would you intend to take followers with you as well? Surely, after yesterday's battle, you're a bit of heroes. There may be people wanting to undertake your next adventure.
Well, it's important to keep people here to protect Polk. This is where our home is now. This might be a journey just for the four of us.
Well, you four made quite the impression. I think Polb has turned a new leaf. I mean, this place was attracting the worst types. And now, you guys have successfully drafted the population. You've engaged in an impressive piece of open warfare. And perhaps luck is in your favor. They say that the appearance of the goddess Jebda has ushered in a new era for the city and its people. Perhaps the famine will end.
All right. Thanks, Leah.
Rob, the packet that Mickey gave me.
Oh, yeah.
Was it a set of lockpicks?
It was a miniature size. It was a Germ-sized, fairly complete thieves' tool kit, you know, containing about 12 little apparatus and a whole bunch of rods, about 36. It folds up nicely, and for you, it's about like 3/4 sized of what it might be for a human.
Okay. While these guys are chatting and talking, Steve is trying out the set on the lock.
Well, Steve, there is sort of, again, something about this lock and this door, and you think back to when you were trapped and under some sort of sleep effect in here, and as you start maybe poking away, your party is now re-entering. They're kind of being ushered out by Leah. But yeah, you remember there was something about the desk here, the front counter to the showroom, and the door that were magical. And you seem to be holding one of those pieces in your hand. You've essentially got what you know to be the magical locking mechanism, which was blown off the door inwards, in your hand.
Maybe it's worth holding onto and taking a look at it when I have more time.
You will have to make a stealth check very quickly as your party approaches you from behind, if you want to pocket it without observance.
Yeah, we'll do.
Okay, make a stealth check. The party.
That is a 25.
Okay, you simply see the back of Steve's urban poncho. He appears to have been really helpfully trying to repair the door. Oh, Steve.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up. I have to say, I tried my best, but...
Can I...
Yeah, Rook, fuck this up.
Alpert has got strong, strong hooves. He's pretty
You're a disaster. This party's just always a bit of a disaster. Half-orc, there's darkness in you, and you busted my door down. Go ride your black horse out of here. Definitely lower in my standing. Beleg, half-elf...
I find that comment very racist.
Oh, well, fuck off. Now, Beleg, half-elf, neutral. No gains, no losses. Steve, what a helpful young lad. Yeah, probably up a couple points. Kaitoa, neutral. Yeah.
Leah.
Hmm?
Before I go...
Hmm?
I apologize for all my intrusiveness. I'm really concerned about my party member. This badger is very dear to me, and it's all my priority right now in life. It's my sole purpose, and I please forgive my abrupt nature, but I'm really concerned about it. Going forward, are you able to keep her sustained, or should we bring her with us in our quest forward?
Ooh, pulling at the heartstrings.
I am a construct. I have no tact. But going forward, I appreciate everything you guys are doing, but this badger is very yes. dear to me, and she trumps all courtesies. I will do anything to save her.
Was this moisture coming out of my eyes? It struck a note. Can you roll a quick persuasion to confirm?
And Kaitoa, I will give you advantage on that for excellent RP.
I'll take the 17.
Well, let me just spill the beans on exactly what's going on here. It's a bit of... Well, it's actually the subterranean gnome technology there, that little icebox. It's a double-walled thing, don't you see? Imbued with the capability of keeping your little black and white badger friend, well, shall we say, fresh? You know? And because, of course, we're aiming for a resurrection here, I think that's what Mem may be hoping... Is possible that with this Wagapaolo, well then, you'll obviously need 1,000 GP worth of diamonds. And so surely you may want to bring along your little friend as you figure out where her fate may rest, in the land of the living or the dead.
No,
hold on.
Do you have a way we can keep her fresh?
Does anybody
in my
have
apartment?
A
apartment?
Hold, does anybody have a hanky?
I don't want her to spoil.
Steve has a handkerchief.
Steve, thank you.
So I don't want her to spoil in my compartment.
No spoilage. So
is there anything you can hand me to keep her fresh?
Oh, you have a badger-sized compartment?
Yeah.
Oh, well, perhaps what we could do here, if there is time before your journey, is outfit you with this chest. I mean, my, it looks like it's about rucksack-sized. So perhaps if you sacrificed about half of the size of your adventurer's pack, we could say that you have a frozen corpse of Crisplick back there.
All right, I'll pitch all my belongings for Crisplick
and some dry ice.
Oh, the deep gnome dry ice. You're aware of this technology then?
Yeah, I've come across it before.
Well, learned you are. Perhaps that Sojourner's medallion is having the intended effect. You seem to perhaps be a bit of a lore master.
The word is learned, Peppy.
Just pack her tight,
pack her securely, and shove her in my bag. We're going to save Crisplick.
Oh, very well. Here's your handkerchief back, Master Steve.
And it is soiled.
Thank you, Leah, for your understanding and compassion. I'm sorry for my actions before. I hope we can move forward from this.
Say no more. Gulp, you've risen about 3 levels.
Thank you.
In the respect chart.
So I'm going from a negative to
net
plus
neutral.
1.
Yes.
Yeah.
Back to positive zone. Positive territory. Goodbye.
Bye-bye, Leah.
Come again.
Wait. One last thing.
What?
I've been talking a lot.
As Kaitoa's been yammering and yakking away with Leah, and Steve collects his handkerchief back, and Rook has been mounted on his steed for ages now, getting ready to go. As that happens, Beleg, you are actually the last to leave. So it turns out that it was to your benefit. Whatever you've been trying to say, and constantly being cut off as Leah blubbers and cries at Kaitoa's fucking sob story, you now have the opportunity to engage him.
I'd like this opportunity to thank myself. No. Leah, I just wanted to give you this doll. I want to give her the doll with the tracking eyes, and in hopes that you and Mem could figure out some...
Is this... I know what this is. I don't need Mem to tell me.
You know what this is?
Well, yes. Is it yours?
Yeah.
And Beleg, have we ever discussed what this doll actually is?
No, I've never had an opportunity to ask somebody.
This doll is... As you pass it to Leah, and I suppose, you know, from this side pouch that you've kept it in, you sort of hand it to her. And as she exclaims, you know, she's clearly surprised by this thing that you've handed her. It's a small, you know, about only a 4 or 5 inch, like, felt doll of an elven warrior. And it's just 1 or 2 colors, sort of. It's got kind of like a skin tone, and it's got another color to represent, you know, the armor. And she looks down and says, I've never really seen one of these except in a museum.
This one is mine. What do they do? I don't recall what... I've never actually learned anything about it.
Well, it's a father figure. They say that... Well, and this is just hearsay, of course, but they say that, you know, over the last several millennia, that the elves persist beyond the Feywild, and every millennia or so they recruit from the material plane, and, well, let's just say they recruit in a way so that their armies of half-elves are, well, essentially raised in the Feywild. With only stories of ages past about fathers they'll never meet. But these are just stories, of course. These are just stories, aren't they?
And she seems to be shaking her head as she looks at this doll. And Beleg, you remember, yes, this doll, the significance of it. This doll was presented to you, you know, as a young half-elf boy, as a representation of this, you know, warrior father that, of course, you never met, and none of your half-elf friends, as you did your half-elf stuff in your youth, really ever knew their fathers, but all of them carried these tokens, these idols that represented, yes, a father figure. But as you and Leah, you know, exchange some words over this doll, what are you doing?
I'm staring at it now, curious and a bit awestruck by what she's telling me.
You better catch up to your semi-douchebag friends.
Leah, why do the eyes track? What kind of magic is imbued upon these dolls?
The stories they tell us with some elven lineage.
She's pushing a bit of her orange-red hair back and sort of feeling the, you know, the crest and the tip of her ears.
They say they were more than tokens, and they served as well as companions, and could see and relay a message, as if by a voice that had been left inside the dolls.
Like they have a memory.
What a strange way of putting it, but certainly yes. I wonder. Well, again, I've only ever seen them behind glass at the museums in Basel.
I think that's all I need to know for now, Leah. And I touch her shoulder and then I walk away.
Oh, then get the hell out of here. That's a bit forward.
It was a glancing touch.
You see her hand flash quickly to the hilt of one of those curved elven blades. As you leave the wizard and spear.
No touching.
Guys, you now see, Beleg, who's a couple steps behind you, coming out and mounting his horse. And then there is perhaps the... what would that be? Yeah, perhaps now it is definitely 9, and the first big toll bell chimes out from inside the temple quarter.
Well,
are we back to the White Chain, or where are we heading?
Let's go back to the White Chain! Kick the other door in!
I think we should go to Burham.
Yeah, I think we gotta
head. The question is, do we want to go... Yeah. By water or by land?
Well, that is where we will have to leave you all until the next time on Dungeons and Blackguards.
No.
Mute in.
Gozer. Beleg, there's that sound from you again. It's like you're possessed by a demon.
There is no Beleg, only Zul.
Yes. A father figure.
I'm sorry, I had to.
I love how every episode has like a soundtrack suggestion of 100%. Like songs that go along with it.
really, I'm just trying to repatch my relationship with Leah, which I think is important that Leah doesn't hate on me.
I think they're okay. I think it'll be all right. Well, Rook just got a horse to kick the door to their
place. Yeah, exactly. And that was like the thing. Yeah.
I was like, things. I think you're doing all right. Yeah, I mean, who's the face of the... I guess it's Beleg.
Beleg's the face, but still, it was one of those, like, that's why I sat outside grooming the horse, because it was like, Leah doesn't want to see me. If I, like, come into this room, she's going to hate on me instantly.
So often I'm playing myself in D&D, and I sure as shit am not a morning person.